Good morning again, everyone. It's great to come and to look at God's Word and to be encouraged in our hearts as we look at it, that we might be ready in our spirits to break bread and to drink the cup and to share that fellowship together this morning, particularly in light of the psalm that's before us. Now, we're in a series that we've called Music to the Ears, because we want to really hear the encouraging truths that come through these psalms that speak God's encouragement to our own lives. And this morning, as we look at this particular psalm, which although it is short, is very, very sweet, we're going to think about it under the heading, Together is Better. Together is Better. And just to put a little bit of meat on that bone, that is basically to say that getting on with one another is better than getting on at one another. And I hope that you will agree with me at that point. It is not our mission to create unity, but it is our goal to keep unity. This is why Paul says to the Ephesians, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We can't do what only God can do. He brings us together, but actually we need to put the effort in to make sure that we're united in the way that we act towards each other that glorifies Him and blesses and encourages our own hearts. Now, I have this faint memory of watching many years ago a Fact and Faith film. Some of you older folks here might remember some of the Fact and Faith films. You remember the days when they used to put the reel on at the back? You couldn't hear the sound because of the reel making so much noise. And I remember the story of this little lad who got lost in the African jungle. He got lost in the tall grass. And of course, you can imagine his mum and dad were distraught. They went out to try and find him. They couldn't find him. They approached the local elder and they said, can you get people together to go out and look for our boy? He's lost. And they went out and they tried to find him, but they couldn't find him. So the next day, the elder discovered that if we all held hands together and walked across the part of the jungle where all this long grass was, we might discover the little boy. And they did discover him. But sadly, in the night through the cold, he died of exposure. And all I can remember from that Fact and Faith film were the words that the mother, full of anguish, full of tears, full of pain, full of hurt, kept on repeating and repeating to this elder of her village, if only we would have held hands sooner. If only we would have held hands sooner. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I look at the church, in all of its obvious faults and failings and foibles, I have to admit that at every level, the local level, the national level, the international level, it has not held hands over the years very well at times, has it? You ever notice that? And yet, the music to the ears that we need to have blasted into us this morning that comes from the truth of this psalm is the great harmony of truth that together is better. Behold, says the psalmist, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. Isn't that a wonderful goal? It's a wonderful goal, but we so often miss the target because sadly not everybody is as perfect as we are. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, you're too perfect to have noticed that, but it's true. That's why somebody wrote years ago, do you remember, to live above with saints we love, for sure that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, that's another story. And yet, Jesus prays specifically for the church in his great high priestly prayer in John 17, that we may be one and brought to complete unity together, just as he and the Father were one. Now, it's beyond count, certainly in my life and probably in yours, how many times I've asked the Lord Jesus to answer my prayers. And I guess it's beyond count in your life too. But one way that we can be the answer to the Lord Jesus' prayer is by our unity. And who wouldn't want to answer the prayer of the living God that we know and love and serve? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship our spirits find is like to that above. You know, if we want to be truly blessed, if we want to soar with the Savior this year, which is our goal, and if we want what God most wants for us, and I pray that we all do, then we need to be one. For together is better, and the more together we are, the better together we will be. Amen? I hope so. I want this church to grow. I genuinely do. But not apart from one another, but rather together with one another in the Lord who's brought us together. I want our worship to reflect one heart together in the Lord. I want our witness to reveal one gospel together from the Lord. And I want our work to remain one mission together for the Lord. Because as we can tell, just simply by top and tailing this lovely little psalm before us this morning, when, it's a conditional promise, folks, when God's people, brothers and sisters, live together in unity, what happens? There, right in the middle of that unity, the Lord bestows his blessing. Could it be that we don't feel the blessing of God because we're not as united as he would like us to be? It's a wonderful promise, and I hope that we can realize that, because I believe that if we're going to be a truly fruitful church and a faithful church and fulfill our calling as a church, then we must come together, we must work together, and more than that, we must stay together, because together is better. So let me just underline quickly, as we come to the table this morning and we look forward to the youngsters coming to join us in a few moments, three things from this little psalm that I hope will help us to know unity more fully, to show it more clearly, and to grow up into it more and more and more daily. And the first is this: evaluate the beauty of unity. When was the last time you evaluated the beauty of unity? You see, the psalm begins, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity." Now, when Paul read it, the NIV doesn't use that word. I don't know why. I think it's a mistake. It's there. And most other versions do, and I think it's an important word. That word, "behold." Behold, it's a word that's telling us that if you want to know just how good and just how pleasant unity is in the Lord, you've got to evaluate it. You've got to investigate it. You've got to look and see for yourself what being united truly means and blesses us with. Because that's what the word "behold" is telling us to do. It is like, stop, look, and listen, have a look, see what a beautiful thing unity is. You remember it was a word that John the Baptist used when he pointed the Lord Jesus out right at the beginning of his public ministry. Do you remember? He said to the crowds, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look at him. Evaluate him. Listen to him." And then it was a word that was used too of Peter on that first resurrection Sunday. When John, who had outrun into the tomb, having heard the news that Jesus was risen, just looked in. But when Peter eventually arrived, probably being the older of the man and the less fit, he got to the tomb and he didn't just look from the outside in. He went in. And we're told he saw, he beheld the very evidence of the resurrection that was there in that empty tomb. He looked at it, he evaluated it, he investigated it, because he didn't want to miss the wonderful truth of it. You want to know this morning who Jesus is and what Jesus has done? Then folks, investigate him fully in order to evaluate him fairly. And you want to know the true beauty of godly unity and just why It is in God's eyes a true sight to behold. Then you evaluate it. You have a good look and see just why unity is such a beautiful thing that God tells us to behold it. Isn't that lovely? You know, John Sharman, he's here this morning, John. This just shocked him. John was showing me his lovely pictures on Wednesday morning here at the coffee morning that he'd taken on his holiday recently to Switzerland. And John's a great photographer, and he took some beautiful pictures, and he had them all printed out there. And, you know, without causing a mass panic at the end, I don't know if you've got them with you today, John, you haven't, but come along on next Wednesday, and he'll show them to you. If you can look and behold and see those photographs that John took of Switzerland and not actually want to go and see Switzerland for yourself, I think you're just fooling yourselves. Switzerland is a beautiful, beautiful country. And I tell you, you'll want to visit it when you see those beautiful pictures. But the psalmist says here, as music to our ears and as a picture for us to print and display, if you behold, if you see, if you evaluate just how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity, folks, you want to go there. You want to be a part of it. And you want to be a means of the blessing that comes through it. Isn't that the thing this morning? Together is better. And what a wonderful witness that is to Jesus when his church is united. That's why when he prayed that we might be one, he told his disciples the reason for this is that when people see your oneness and your unity, what will they do? They will believe that God has sent me to you. Our unity is a great witness. I know people like to say there's strength in numbers, and there is truth to that. There is strength in numbers. But I think the greater truth is that there's only strength in numbers if those numbers are unified. Together is better. One brick by itself doesn't make a wall, but many together can. Amen? One person alone does not make a team, but many together do. One link alone does not make a chain, but many together can. And all I'm saying to you this morning, and together is better, surely what our Savior desires, surely what our Savior desires, his saints delight in. Amen? Evaluate the beauty of unity. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And I think at the moment when I look across the country that I grew up in, I see the division, the disgruntlement, the depression that's around because we're anything but a united kingdom. What a witness to this country if as the Church of Jesus Christ we can stand together knowing that in him it speaks so well. The second thing, not only evaluate the beauty of unity, but eradicate the barriers to unity. And the most clear and obvious way of doing that is simply by coming to faith in Jesus for yourself. Because we cannot have a common bond together unless we share a common birth together with one another. So it also says in verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is when what? When brothers, it's a generic term in the translations, brothers and sisters, God's people, live together in unity. But we can't call each other brothers and sisters spiritually until through faith in Jesus Christ we know God as our Father personally. That's the reality of it, isn't it? That's why we need to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It wasn't my own efforts that in the flesh saw me birthed into the Sweeney family. If I'd had to put that much effort in, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I couldn't have done it. You know, it was other people's efforts on my behalf that caused me to be birthed in the flesh into the family known as the Sweeneys. I couldn't do anything about that. I'm glad for it, and I thank God for my family. But it takes an effort as a Sweeney to keep the unity in the family as much and as far as it depends upon me. You understand? It's not my effort that gets me into the family of God. It's the effort that God has done for me in the sending and suffering and sacrificing of his own dear son, who worked himself to death on my behalf, on your behalf, so that I might be born again through faith in Jesus and all that he finished for me on that cruel cross. And we're about to celebrate in a few minutes so that I could come into God's family and be part of a body that recognizes you and you and you as my brother and sister this morning. Now, I know we don't always like our brothers and sisters, do we? But just so you know, as your pastor, I love you. All right? Okay, I won't get any more soppy than that, but that is the truth of it. And we need to understand that if we are going to stay unified with each other, then we need to maintain and keep that spirit of unity. And that is down to us. Living together is more than attending services. It's more than just fulfilling a rota. And it's more than just putting a like onto somebody's Facebook page, though that can be good. Living in unity, as we discover here in the psalm, is about doing life together with all of its ups and downs, all of its mess and failure, all of its joys and sorrow. And until we're prepared to commit ourselves to doing that, we'll be erecting barriers that prevent unity rather than eradicating them to have unity. Amen? That's what we are about. And I hope it's what you are about this morning. And if you want to see the barrier gone and you can be unified with God's people, you've got to know God as your father. But there's something else here as well, isn't there, in what we read? And I underline it there in the words brothers and sisters who live together in unity, that it's not just simply our starting point for unity, but if we're going to eradicate barriers to it, then we need the strengthening point also of being able to continue to do day after day what we might have to do to keep that unity. And that demands, as we get the picture of here, that oil being poured out upon the head and running down the beard of Aaron and upon the collar of his robes. And that's where this next part comes in the psalm. Unity is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, on Aaron's beard, and down upon the collar of his robes. What are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit, who's symbolized in the scripture as oil. And this verse is teaching us it's not only that the Holy Spirit is the source of our unction, our power, our anointing, our calling, but he's very much the strength in our unity too. So if we are to stay united, and we will be better together, we need the Holy Spirit's anointing upon our lives. Can't just make the effort in and of ourselves. We need his anointing and strength to do it. We need the Holy Spirit's power to grow our lives. We need the Holy Spirit's wisdom to direct our lives. We need the Holy Spirit's lubrication to soften our hearts so that nothing is beyond our forgiveness and limits our willingness to be united with one another. What on earth is there that I cannot forgive in you in light of what God in Christ has forgiven in me? Nothing. And we celebrate that with the breaking of bread. And we need, like Aaron is here, to be set apart by the Spirit to fulfill the ministry that God has called us to fulfill. Now, this morning, I haven't the time to explore. I hope some of you will do this in your life groups. I've not the time to explore the makeup, the mix, and the measure of the oil that made Aaron's ministry what it was as a high priest in the service of God. But suffice it this morning to say that it was poured out on him genuinely. What do I mean? I mean, the oil that was poured out upon Aaron's head is a true anointing of the ministry that he had under God, and not a substitute for it. Aaron was not pretending to be someone that he wasn't. He was God's man with God's ministry and God's means. And I wonder sometimes, are we that genuine? Are we actually possessing what we so easily are professing? That the words that we sing and we love reflect the life that we lead. Is there a genuineness about us that we're in the family of God and the Spirit is upon us and in us and with us for the ministry that he's called us to? But it was also poured out generously. Did you notice it flowed from top to bottom, from head to the beard to the body? Why? So that we might have the mind of Christ to think with? So that we might have the heart of Christ to feel with? And that we might be part of the body of Christ to work with, united. And it was poured out graciously upon Aaron too, wasn't it? Because if you'd have been around Aaron when this mixture that God had given specific direction for was upon him in this oil of anointing, if you'd have been around him, then something of the smell and the fragrance and the perfume and the point of it would have begun to rub off on you. And I wonder sometimes if we're that genuine in our walk with the Lord, that generous in how we show our love for the Lord to others around us so we stay united fully in the Lord. I wonder if it rubs off that much in our homes, on our front lines, in our schools, in our workplaces. Dare I say it? In our church. Who gets the blessing? Who gets the benefit of our own genuine, generous, gracious walk with God in the power and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And all this to picture ahead of time the ministry of Jesus, our high priest, who genuinely, generously, and graciously provides all that we need to unite us together and make sure that we've got a unity so sweet it can be sensed and it can be smelt and it can be appreciated by anybody who gets close enough to us. And all of God's people suddenly move slightly apart. Bless him. So there we go. We evaluate the beauty of unity and we eradicate the barriers to unity. Why do we do that? Very quickly, so that we can elevate the blessings in unity. That's what I hope we can do in a few moments when the children come back in and we're together around this table, breaking this bread, pouring this cup. I hope we can elevate the blessing of the message that we're learning. You see, it says in verse 3, if I put it up there, unity, look at this, unity is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there, in unity that we've evaluated, and we've tried to eradicate the barriers from blocking it for us, the Lord bestows, commands his blessing, even life forevermore. Well, if the blessing of God was not that great, you wouldn't want it forevermore, would you? But the blessings of God are so great, you want it forevermore. And I would say, look, in light of that, isn't it hard to elevate the blessings of unity when you're talking about life forevermore? Because if we're reconciled to God through Christ, as I trust we all are, and folks, that's the qualification for taking bread and drinking the wine. The qualification is not that you come to church. The qualification is that you are the church. You've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And if we're in a marriage that overflows with his togetherness, And the blessing and fragrance of his unity as our Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we have friendships born of this kind of love so that we know they really count and we can be counted upon, and if we worship in a church where we get the best from others and others get the best from us, because that's better together, then I doubt we think it possible to reach any higher plane. Do you? But if we could, how many of us, I wonder, would have chosen a picture of Jude to illustrate it by? I mean, what does Jude do? It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Well, we have an expression here in this country, don't we? We talk about something being as fresh as the morning dew. I think it's a lovely picture for us in a world of division that unity and harmony are pictured as the morning dew on a parched and thirsty land. Remember back in David's day, and even today, still in some parts of Israel, which I'm looking forward to getting to see, farming was done on what they call a dry farming basis. There was no irrigation on the land back in David's day when this psalm was written, and very little rain. So farmers were dependent on the morning dew to water their crops as it came down from the mountains. So there was no more beautiful a sight, no more blessed a sight to a Hebrew farmer back in the day, the morning dew that God had sent to water their crops, because dew meant food for the table. Dew meant clothing for the body. Dew meant shelter for the family. Dew meant hope for the future. Dew elevated lives back then, and dew elevates for us still the blessings of unity today when we understand the picture that it was given for. Is there anything sweeter? I can say this as a pastor. I don't think there is. Is there anything sweeter than the dew of heaven's grace and God's power and the Holy Spirit's unity, when it falls upon a church, when it fills up a home, and it fans the very desire in God's people themselves to live to the full the very life that Jesus died and sacrificed himself for to give to us? Dew makes the land green. Dew makes the land fertile. Dew makes the land fruitful, and it increases productivity. It gives the land its greatest potential to do what it was created to do. And folks, can you elevate the blessings of God higher than this? What dew does for the land, unity does for the church. So you be careful when you hear somebody talk the bride of Christ down. Because this is the bride, this is the church that Jesus loved himself to death for. Together is better. And although it's not there in the NIV, don't forget that word, will you? Evaluate it. Behold how pleasant and how good it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. And I tell you this, your ministry, your calling, your life is shaped by the condition of your heart. Are you the kind of person that wants to bring people together? Are you got the kind of attitude and approach that seems to push people apart? It all depends on the heart. Helen Keller famously said, and I've always liked this, alone we can do so little, together we can do so much. So as we come to this table this morning, together is better. Do you remember the three tenors? And if you remember the three tenors, Jose Carreras, Placido Domingo, Luciano Pavarotti, in 1994, they were singing in Los Angeles, and one reporter tried to press an issue of competitiveness between them, because they were three individual tenors coming together, and this reporter felt there must have been some competition. And Placido Domingo told them straight, he said, "You can never be rivals when you're together making music." Folk, we're not here to compete against each other, are we, as a church? We're here to complement one another, aren't we? From the head flows to the body. Our head, Jesus Christ, flows to the body through the power of the Holy Spirit, the very gifts and abilities that we all need. I'm not asking you this morning you know, to agree with everything that I like. I mean, that's unison. Yeah, you haven't got to agree with me with everything in unanimity. But we ought to be agreed when it comes to unity. That it's good and it's pleasant when brothers and sisters dwell together, live together, do life together in unity, because it speaks so well of the God who is unified in himself, three in one, to whom we give God praise and glory forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And if you've got young children, in a minute, we're going to play a little song, and it'll be played to you, and you can watch it and reflect upon it. And during that song, if you've got children that you need to go and collect as we come to the table of the Lord, please do go and get them. Let's bow in prayer. Father, whether we like it or not, in Christ we are unified if we've trusted our lives to him. You've done that for us. But Lord, we're here as your people now, coming to this table to break this bread, to drink this cup, Lord, with a determination and a commitment to do everything that we can through the power of your Spirit and to the glory of yourself to stay unified, to do things together because together is better, to be an answer to your prayer that they may be one and fully united. Oh, Lord, help us in this. In a world where so many opinions divide, so many differences are raised up. Help us, Lord, not to be a people that put our own preference ahead of your prayer, that put our own likes above your will, that put our own desires above your commands. Lord, you who bring us together and unite us together, keep us together, so that by our love one for another, this world that's lost, not in the long grass of a jungle, but lost in the failure of its own sin, can come and find its life and hope and future forever with you. We want to witness to that. We want to work towards that. And we give you our lives as an act of worship in light of that, praying it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.